Blog Talk Radio.
If I could contain myself and not sing Aquarius to you, because I just get so excited when I hear the song. And with me today, I have Dr. Ron Cole. He is a famous worldwide and national for us astrologist. He knows everything there is about the sun, moon, stars, and sky. So before I say hello to Ron, because I know he's chomping at the bit to get a hold of everyone, I want to tell everybody who I am, how to get a hold of me, and Ron also. So before I start, I just want to say hi, guys! Hi, everyone in chat. Hi, Ron. How are you today?
Hello there, Bonnie. Good to hear your voice and raring to go.
Oh, I am, and you know I always am. But give me just a second to give a few announcements. Again, my name is Bonnie Albers. You are listening to Bonnie Albers on Air, and I have a new website. So that's what I'm really excited about. My website is www.bonniealbersonair.com, and you can hear the latest show from that website. I'm getting ready to put my PayPal button on, and you see a contact me, and I have different buttons so that you can contact me for reading, for counseling, and for life coaching. I love my job. The one thing I love the best is to be able to be on the air with everybody. So give me a shout, give me a holler. I'm on Facebook. I'm on a website. You can Facebook me. You can Twitter me. I'm also on email, which I think is in my Facebook. I don't know. I'm so not computer savvy. But my email is balbers714@aol.com. And today we have Ron Cole. And Ron offers so many things for you. I just can't tell you, if you don't have your own personal chart, this is something we've had Ron on for, I think, a year now, every week. You must know that it's important. It's when you take your first breath, that is your whole life map is there at your disposal to see everything, anything, this life, past lives, what you're going to look for, and what can help you with tools moving forward in this life. And that's called a birth chart. Ron does those birth charts, I'm going to tell you, by hand still. And to have one done is a privilege and an honor, I feel, from Ron, because I had mine done. And he can be reached at livingastro@aol.com. Candy, if you could put that up. Girlfriend, I love you, and you're keeping my chat going, because you know I can't chat, chitter, go in the ethers and talk at the same time. But anyway, Ron offers a lot more if you have a birth chart. He does updates. He can find anything and everything. He can answer questions for you. But first, that birth chart has to be available. So, hi, Ron. Can you tell everybody what you think about doing a birth chart and what you offer people?
Yes, it is the most important thing, I believe, for a person to do, because it is a roadmap for them for this lifetime, a grid system that shows the actual patterning of the sky at the moment they took their first breath. How many people think, well, that's great, that was back then at birth, what about me now? But actually, this is what astrology does. It sets up the roadmap of a person's life for when they come into this life. And you can see the way the arrangement of that chart falls, the way the planets are, the signs they are in, the areas of the sky called houses that they are in, the energy or angular relationship they make to each other. And that will describe what that soul has come into this lifetime to work with, to develop, and the timings of this life, the timings of when they're going to meet their eventual marriage partner, when they're going to marry, when a child will be born, when they will have promotions or major upswings in jobs. It is the greatest sense of timing and cycle analysis that can be done for a human being. You have to provide the astrologer with your month, day, year of birth, your location of birth, and your clock time of birth. And if one of those things are missing, a chart cannot be set up.
Well, you know what, Ron? I've got to tell you, because I've been holding this back for the last few minutes, because I hate when I have to interrupt you, because I listen to every word you say. But I was going to say, thank goodness I can't read roadmaps and that you're really good at them, because I just wouldn't be able to navigate anything if I didn't have you. So I'm not letting Ron tell how wonderful he is, but it's worth the investment. It's a lifetime, one time only. You could do your birth chart one time only with Ron, and then all the others are updates. And like I have every year, every 6 months, I have an update. So it's really important. There's other things you could see in the chart, Ron. Like, I know there's people who call you. There's doctors, physicians, lawyers, people, everybody who are going to have surgery, who are going to buy a house. There's always greater dates that they can pick to move their energy forward, correct?
Yes, exactly. You could see whether it's a cyclic timing period in their life. for making that on-road decision, like buying the house or making that change. But of great importance is the timing of surgery. There are doctors out there that are complete interactors with astrology. They just do not tell their colleagues, but they do know where the moon is and what types of configurations are going on any particular day. And that's one of the most important factors in astrology is the time. Over all of the years, and this is not bragging, this is actually just bringing out a fact, over all of the years that I've been doing this, which is 42 years now, it'll be 43 in June, amazing, isn't it? I have never once, when we have timed a surgery, had things go wrong. Because there's a certain astrological axiom to follow in describing certain days and timings of the days that would be positive for that surgery and others to be completely cautious of and to stay away from it. And what we do is, as an astrologer, we look up the dates and that are the most positive ones and give them to the client, and those are one of those dates they interact with their doctor and schedule the surgery on that day, and it works out just like a piece of cake. In fact, they often have the doctors come back to them, Bonnie, and they say, you're healing so much faster than the average person. This is really quite interesting. Or that surgery went so well, you won't have to have any follow-ups as far as surgeries. We thought originally you would, but everything is done in this one time. I hear comments back like that from my clients through their doctors.
Well, Ron, I've got to ask you a question because I know everybody wants to know, including me. I know you need to get Skype because you're a master teacher. You're a master astrologist, and you've taught master astrology. You've taught idiots me, which not really LOL, but you've taught the Idiot's Guide to Astrology all the way up to the master's level. And we're just waiting to get a class from you. I know you don't like a whole lot of people in one class, but do you think you could get up on Skype and put some classes up? Because I know I take it.
Telling you, I have seriously, seriously been giving the impetus here to start a class again. It's been quite a while since I've had a class. And I've had students who attended my very first class stay with me for 5 years. And in that period of time, they became very proficient in astrology. Now, that doesn't mean you have to go 5 years. Just one course, one class can do just miraculous things for people.
Well, when you put it up, Ron, you let me know.
I don't mean coming one day. I mean just one the course in astrology, which goes for several weeks to months. That can do great in educating people.
Well, when you start putting those courses up, please let us know, because I know that my listeners and people who are really, really into astrology, if you put up the different levels, would love that. And I think that would be great for you, too, because it would be, you could interact with them, you could see them on Skype, and I'll teach you how. So when you get ready, let's put you on Skype, and let's start some classes. But anyway, I know we have a lot to talk about, and I just want to tell everybody, if you want a reading from Ron before we start, he told you how to get a hold. I told you how to get a hold of him, and it's in chat. And what he needs, it's a 2 to 3 hour read. So I am telling you, it's the best gift you could give yourself or others. Again, it's Living Astro, LivingAstro at AOL.com. So now that we're through with that, Ron, I want to talk about what's going on in the skies. So what's today? Because I know you've got something to tell us today.
Well, first of all, I'd like to say Happy Chinese New Year's to everyone in the world.
Happy New Year!
This is the day that the Chinese celebrate their new year, the beginning of their new year. And it's always when there's the new moon in the sign of Aquarius, and that's what's occurring today. Actually, as I've said in past shows, there have been two new moons in Aquarius, one right at the beginning of the sign's entry, and the other right here as it's about to leave. But still, it was the second one that was chosen to be the Chinese New Year. Last year was the year of the horse. In fact, it was the green wood horse. Now, this is what most people don't realize is there are 12 animals in the Chinese zodiac, and they have 1 year to be as a year of. Like, for example, the year of the horse started a year ago. It's now ending today. And now it's the year of the sheep. And that will go on for 1 year. Now, what they don't know is... Yeah, it's the sheep now. And what they don't know is that there's an element associated with each of the animals. And in the Chinese zodiac, there is fire, earth, air, water, and metal. There's five elements: fire, earth, air, water, and metal. Now, last year was earth because it was the green wood horse, and wood is their saying for earth. I don't know what the sheep is this year, and I'd like to ask people in chat who may be in the know or who may be able to research this to write in and say that if it's a water sheep, an earth sheep, which it shouldn't be an earth sheep because we just had earth, so it should be a water sheep, an air sheep, a fire sheep, or a metal sheep. And every 60 years, that particular combination repeats itself. So last year was the green wood or earth horse, and then 60 years before that, which would have been 1954, that was also the year of the green wood or earth, as we call it in the West, horse. And each element mellows that animal slightly in that energy direction. So I've even talked to Chinese people who are living in the United States, and they don't know the element. They only know it's the year of the sheep. They don't know what element is associated with it. So again, fire, earth, air, and water. And
you know what they say, Ron? They would say, oh, we're just Americanized. Because, you know, that's everybody's such a big melting pot here. It's like whatever we do, we do. I love that because, you know, we have, you know, Chinatown down where we are. And they have it in New York. And I just love visiting it on this time of the year because, you know, they have all big dragon things come out and they celebrate. And I just love that. I love every celebration of different cultures that are peaceful. So I love that.
Well, in virtually every city, there's going to be Chinese restaurants that are going to be celebrating today. What I would recommend, folks, is just get out a phone book or start scrolling around in your phone and start calling Chinese restaurants and say, are you going to have any specialties or celebrations or special dinners for Chinese New Year tonight? And the one or ones that say yes, go there because it's going to be a fun experience. It's the one night of the year that this can happen. Now, you're right about the dragon. What they do first is they, especially in Chinatown areas, they will throw firecrackers at the doorway of restaurants and buildings, and they'll explode first. And that's to scare off the evil spirits, to scare off the bad. And then the dragon comes around and does a dance in front of the doorway, bows its head and does a dance back and forth. And that's because the dragon is very beloved in Chinese literature and Chinese history and Chinese zodiac, and the dragon is the great protector. So you will see in Chinatown fireworks and dragons today.
I love that. I love dragons. I think they're loyal. They're wonderful. And my son put one on his arm, so, you know, I have to love it.
And it's a Chinese dragon, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Oh, my. Yes, it is. Let's not talk about it. But, yes, it's a beautiful dragon.
You've got to tell him it's a celebration of that dragon today.
Yeah.
Although it's not the year of the dragon.
Well, let's hope he doesn't put any more animals on his arm. But go ahead.
Yeah, tell him no more. You're going to have to just be sure that he's not going to sneak one in.
Yes. Well, you'll have to tell me that. Because if he does, I'm going to lock the door. But okay.
Well,
so
just be sure that any open space of skin stays that way. Just keep checking the skin that doesn't have any tattooing on it.
I will have to. What else is happening in our sky, Ron? Because I know you were really excited to get on and tell us.
Well, today is also the new moon. And you might think, that's not unusual. We have 13 of those a year, and the new moon is when the sun and moon are sitting together in the same zodiacal sign and same degree. They've come together. Well, this is a super moon, and everyone immediately assumes that it has to be a full moon to be a super moon, because we've been told, in the past, this full moon is a super moon, and it's going to be like 10% bigger and about 14% brighter. Well, actually, or maybe those figures are reversed, could be the other way around, but we actually have a super moon at the time of a new moon. And this is a term that's applied whenever the moon makes a major configuration, like a full moon or a new moon, when it is the closest to the Earth. Whenever you hear the term super moon, it means that the moon is at its closest approach to the Earth in about 27 to 28 days, or actually within a month. And what's interesting is the moon has an elliptical orbit. At times it's further away from the Earth, and it is noticeably smaller. And at other times it's quite close to the Earth, like it is now, and it's noticeably bigger. However, everybody, we will not be able to see the moon now because it's a new moon, which means that the moon and the sun are now sitting together in the sky, and anything that's near the sun you cannot see because this burn out our vision of seeing it, so to speak. So trust me, the moon is there where the sun is, but we just can't see it. But it just happens to be a super moon. Now, super moons mean that the moon's power is more influential on the Earth and the people and animals and plants on the Earth. The tides are higher when we have a super moon because the moon is closer. Animals get more active. People get more active. Even in the case of trees, sap rises up trees higher. The Earth even bulges slightly. They've even measured that the Earth can bulge as much as 6 inches upward when there's a powerful super moon going over. So this is, in a way, the same as a full moon, that's a super moon, but the sun and the moon are joined together. Now, there's a term for this, Bonnie. It's perigee. Whenever the moon is at its closest approach to the Earth and it's a super moon, we call it perigee. And when it's the furthest away from the Earth, we call it apogee. So those are scientific terms for describing the point of closeness and furtherness. So the moon is affecting us very powerfully today, even though it's a new moon. And
well,
the other thing is...
Go ahead, Ron.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I just always think whenever I hear about like a super moon or a super new moon, I'm worried about the fish in the water because my husband's going to go fishing, although I don't think he's going fishing this weekend. But because they are more active, I think they, you know, the fishermen fish these fishes out more because the fish are closer. And so I just hate that because, you know, I'm not a vegetarian. I wish I could be. But I always think that when fishermen go out, on a new moon, a super moon especially, they catch more fish. So I'm hoping all the fish go in the middle of the ocean and don't come near so they can't get caught. I'm sorry.
The super new moon, we also call this a lunation or the dark of the moon. Those are other terms applied to it. It occurs at 6:48 p.m. Eastern time, so it's not going to occur for us here in the Eastern time zone till 6:48 in the evening. It'll be around 11:48 for those of you listening from the UK, so it'll be shortly before midnight. And if you are listening in Western time zones, then it'll be earlier than 6:48, but that's the exact moment that the new moon will occur. The other thing that's very interesting and odd about this, along with being the Chinese New Year and the closest to the Earth, is that this new moon is occurring 1 minute away from the moon and sun entering the sign of Pisces. In other words, can you imagine this 1 minute? Now, for example, if you had the clock saying 1:59, you knew that 1 minute beyond that would be 2 o'clock. It would leave the 1, it would go to the 2 hour now. Well, this is occurring at 29 degrees 59 minutes Aquarius, and 1 minute further will be in Pisces. And the sun and moon at 6:48 are going to be coming together in the sky at the last minute of the sign of Aquarius. Now, it's still in Aquarius, but within a very short period of time, within the moon, with perhaps less than a half hour, it'll be in Pisces already, and the sun might be in Pisces in about 4 hours or less. Well, the sun actually moves 2.5 minutes an hour, so it'll actually be 4 hours. It's not true. It'll be in less than an hour. It'll be in Pisces. So what is interesting is here we've got the sun and moon coming together in Aquarius today, and tomorrow, the 19th of February, we're going to have five planets in Pisces in the sky, Bonnie. Five planets. Tomorrow, we're going to have the sun in Pisces, the moon in Pisces, Venus in Pisces, Mars in Pisces, and Neptune in Pisces. Well, we need to talk about this. This is a big grouping. And, you know, that's good for you and I because we're both water signs, and Pisces is a fellow water sign. But
yes.
You talk about spirituality, mysticism, intuition, and sensitivity. This is going to be running at a high level because that's characteristics associated with Pisces. Arguably, it could be the most psychic sign of the zodiac. Many people consider it as such. And so psychic energies are going to be running incredibly strong late tonight, all during the night, all day tomorrow, and tomorrow evening when the five planets are in Pisces. It's kind of unusual to have five planets in one sign. I mean, it can happen, but it's not something that happens all the time.
Yeah, well, you know what, Ron? I got to tell you something. I love it. Maybe there'll be more spirits here. Just think, you know, because I always love spirit. And they were here in so much a cluster yesterday that maybe they're getting ready to have a party this week for me. What do you think?
Well, this makes a great degree of sense because Pisces is one of the signs that's very sensitive to picking up and seeing spirits and picking up on spirit energy. It can have greatest levels of psychic flashes of insight and gut-level feelings and inner knowing and psychic premonitions. And so this is going to be very, very strong on people that are highly receptive. But it's also going to be very powerful for people that are, and I pardon the expression, thick as a brick, that have no interest in psychic ability, never sense or see anything. You know, when there's this many planets in such a psychic sign, there could even be breakthroughs with people that are normally very nondescript when it comes to spirituality and metaphysics. This is a powerful time to meditate, Bonnie. This is a powerful time to go within and listen to your inner feelings and your inner voice, not just your conscious. It's the inner psychic energy that's innate to the human being.
Well, you know what, Ron? I wonder if, you know, I think everybody has this innate psychic ability. It's whether you are switched on. So I love that this might switch on all the people that we have all, you know, really tried to explain things to or talk to that, you know, that say, oh, no. I love that because I think once those switches go on, I mean, the world gets better and better. So I love that. Now, how long does that last? Is it only one day, 1 hour?
Well, I wish I could be more than one day, but the following day, the 20th, Mars breaks from the group and goes into Aries. So on the 20th, we have four planets in Pisces, and that's still a lot. The sun and moon are still together in Pisces. And actually, Bonnie, within about an hour after the eclipse tonight, which is again at 6:48 p.m. Eastern time, let's say by 7:45 Eastern time, there are already five planets in Pisces. So already they're lining up in that sign this evening. It'll be all night long, all day tomorrow and tomorrow night and evening. But by the 20th, they're going to be going into four planets because Mars goes into its own sign of Aries. Because actually Mars is really at the very ending of Pisces. So this is really very interesting. You know, it is also a sign that inspires people. People with heavy Pisces emphasis become inspired artists, become inspired architects. They can create. So this is a level, time of high creative energy, high inspiration for writers, for artists, for people that have innate talents of creativity, because Pisces gives that seed for that kind of direction. Now, people are going to become very sensitive, Bonnie. They're going to become very sensitive. They'll have their feelings more easily hurt. They'll take offense more easily. They'll be more thin-skinned. And I mean that by the fact that there's this tremendous emphasis of emotions, emotional planetary placement. So if people sometimes snap back and get more argumentative or have their feelings hurt and get quiet, this is not going to be a rare thing, particularly from this evening through the 20th.
Well, you know what, Ron? I want to say everybody right now, I try to be really sensitive. I think I'm really sensitive and I'm caring. And I love all of you, but if I say anything that offends you or hurts you in the next 2 days, please don't cry because I don't mean it. How about that? Yeah. That way I can kind of bolster what's going to happen. So if I give any messages that don't kind of jive with you and make you upset, please know that I only gave it from my heart and that in 2 days you'll be fine, right?
Well, Bonnie, do you have any guests in the next 2 days? Why not mention them now? Because they're going to be on your show when there's this high emphasis of five planets and then four planets in Pisces, because this is a rarity. This does not happen many times.
Well, I'll tell you who's coming tomorrow. You know we have, I didn't even start telling everybody today. I've kind of switched the shows up, so I wanted to kind of give everybody a surprise who's coming each week, except, you know, you, Ron, have your slot. But I'm moving people around, and I'm bringing in new people. And tomorrow I have, of course, Annabelle Miller and Brenda Brand are coming tomorrow. They're my mom and duo team. They'll rock the house. But after that, I've got Andrew D. from the UK, and oh, is he emotional. So I know he'll be here to find your loved ones, you're passed over, you're crossing over. He'll be here to answer your questions from 2 to 3. And that should be really interesting because he's a guy with a lot of emotion. I can just tell you that. So even more tomorrow, right?
Yes, Bonnie. And psychics, mystics, mediums, and intuitives are going to have high-level function precision when there's this many planets in Pisces because it's of the energy of what they're working with, spirituality and intuition.
Well, I'll tell you, yesterday, like I said, I've had more spirit here than I've had in a while, which I love, of course. And then Friday, I didn't get into it, but Friday you have me. And wrap up your week with Bonnie. And I'm going to, spirit has told me that I'm going to do the last two chakras, which is actually, Ron, which is interesting, it is your third eye chakra and your crown chakra. Both are very spiritual, where spirit comes in through. And that's what I'm ending. I can't believe this. That's what I'm ending this week with, and that's what spirit said. So I'm actually ending this week on a spiritual note, on a spiritual day, with a spiritual person.
There you go. There is something else I think I should mention, and that Pisces can have a super-like effect on people, in some people in many ways, not necessarily psychics, they're sharp and keen, but some people may actually be more tired, more sleep more tomorrow or the next day, because there's often this super type of influence on people, because Neptune, the ruler of Pisces, has a nebulous type of influence on energy level sometimes. And it also can be a time of some very powerful dreams. The sign of Pisces is very much connected with dream interpretation and dream imagery. We'll tell people tonight, tomorrow night, and even into the evening of the 20th, pay special attention to dreams that you have.
Wow, I think that's super cool. I love dreams. Oh my goodness, I don't think I dream. I go straight to the ethers, and I don't remember because I'm actually living my dream. But that's exactly what a lot of people I've just heard about have had these crazy dreams, and they're all thinking of what they mean, including some of the psychics that are on the show. And I love that because interpretation is what allows you to understand what spirit's trying to get across to you. So I love that.
Well, the links between spirit plane and physical plane are going to be thinner and more connective and more flowing in the next 2 days because of this Pisces emphasis in the sky.
I wonder why Pisces, can you tell me, why do you feel Pisces? And Pisces' birthday is when? When do we go
Well,
into
it actually
Pisces
starts
exactly?
tonight. When tonight's the sun entering Pisces within an hour after this new moon. So by 7:45, the sun will be in Pisces for sure. And then the next month, we have the spring equinox. The sun will be in Pisces. So it's generally around the 20th, a little bit earlier this year, the 19th, through February through the 21st of March is when the sun's in Pisces.
Well, do you think we should sing happy birthday to Pisces? Because isn't Pisces born today? All the people born today, or is it tomorrow?
Well, tomorrow, the first full day when the sun's in Pisces, but actually starting this evening after, let's say within an hour after the new moon, the sun and moon will both be in Pisces, let's say by 7:45. So even individuals born tonight after 7:45 will have the Pisces sun, our birth time, and then from tomorrow onward through the day of the spring equinox, which this year I believe is the 20th of March, the sun will be in Pisces. But as far as singing, Bonnie, I'll give you that power because I'll just really be happy to listen.
Okay, well, I have to do it, Ron, because we are changing signs. So I am
bet
thrilled
you're a reporter,
to death. We are thrilled to death, Ron and I, or living, that we are now in another water sign. Yay! I mean, Scorpio, Cancer, and Pisces rock our world because we're water. So here, I'd like to sing happy birthday to Pisces. But I want to tell you, Pisces, I'm a Cancer, and I'm psychic too. So here we go. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Pisces. Happy birthday to all of you. So everybody out there.
Applause. I will applaud that, and I hope everyone else is.
Thank you. I want to wish everybody who is Pisces a happy month. I always celebrate, Ron and I always celebrate our birthdays the whole month. Because, I mean, when you look at a month and you say, oh, I'm a Cancer or I'm a Pisces, it lasts for a month or so. So have a great month. Everybody, turn your antennas on. Start tuning into this world and beyond. And have a great birthday, Pisces. Okay, Ron, what else do you got for us?
Well, there is something very important coming up in April, and I know we're jumping a month ahead, but I want everyone to be aware of this. There's going to be a total lunar eclipse on April 4th. That means the sun will be in Aries, the moon will be in Libra, but it's a total lunar eclipse. But it is going to be the shortest lunar eclipse since 529. And I mean the year 1529. This eclipse will last less than 4 minutes. Now, it'll get slowly red like eclipses do, and the moon will turn that blood red. But totality is when the eclipse is in its full phase, its full state. And normally totality of an eclipse lasts a while. Well, this one is going to last less than 4 minutes. Now, there has not been a total lunar eclipse lasting for such a short period of time since the year 1529. Now, this is because, and here's the next term, the moon is at its furthest point from Earth at that time. It's at its apogee. Apogee is the term when the moon is as far from the Earth as it ever gets in its elliptical orbit. So it doesn't make a completely circular orbit. It's like an ellipse. It gets closer at times, it gets further away at times, closer again, further away. Well, it's at its apogee, and because of that, the moon is smaller only because it is further away. So when it's a super moon, like now, and if we would look at it, I believe it's 17% bigger or 14% bigger. It's one of those two, but that's still a lot. And when it's furthest away, it's either 14 or 17% smaller in its appearance. So here comes this much smaller moon, when there's a total lunar eclipse. And again, it's at the exact moment of the eclipse that the moon is at its apogee. It's at the exact moment of the April 4th eclipse that the moon is the furthest it ever gets from the Earth. And again, that hasn't happened in combination since 1529. Because of that, the moon's eclipse period of totality will be less than 4 minutes from start
to
the beginning of the ending of the eclipse. Well, that's a good question. That means there's still an eclipse going on. We can't ignore it, and it's still there in the sky. But being a short-lasting eclipse, and the moon the furthest away from the Earth, it has less effect on the tides, less effect on animals and people than it does even when it's in its normal closeness. So this is an eclipse that will occur, but will have, in the majority of looking across the Earth, less effect on people than an average eclipse. Certainly, if we had an eclipse when the moon was at its closest, like it is now, it's very powerful. Now, today is not an eclipse. It's just a super new moon. But we don't have a term for the moon being the furthest away. We call it the closest. We call it a super moon like tonight. But we don't have a term when it's the furthest away. Maybe we should invent one. But this indicates
yes, right
that
here
the moon,
on our show.
We could, but we don't want to make it too embarrassing for the moon either. So we
yes,
have to think of a good term.
It's our planet, you know, so we wouldn't want to upset it because, you know,
that's
you
right,
and I
Bonnie.
Are both.
We have to be very loving to our loving sky mother, the moon.
Yeah.
It rules Cancer. The sign of Cancer. Now, so the moon is going to be first today in its new moon phase, the closest it ever gets, and April 4th, a total lunar eclipse. The moment the eclipse is occurring, the moon is at its exact furthest away. So we've got some really odd things for sun-moon patterns coming up now and next 2 months here. So I just wanted to share that with everyone. And
why,
there
thank you.
Is... Oh, but just because, and I went back and did some research, and I also went and heard some astronomers talk, because I stay in great connection with astronomers, because I listen to their specific astrology. Not they don't use astrology, astronomy, that are also used in astrology. So it was also astronomers themselves that said this is going to be the shortest lunar eclipse in duration since 1529. Now,
well, you know,
we have to realize an eclipse is coming, but it's less powerful. Bonnie, do you know that the Earth also has an elliptical orbit, and there's a time in the year in which we are the closest to the sun, and there's a time in which we are the furthest away, and it's a great distance between our closest to our furthest one. And you know what? It completely doesn't make sense for us here in the northern hemisphere, but on July 10th, each year, the Earth is at its furthest away that it ever gets from the sun in its slightly elliptical orbit. But 6 months away, on January the 10th, it is at the closest it ever gets to the sun. Now, in the southern hemisphere, they've got that connecting right, because when it's January 10th in the southern hemisphere, they're in summer. And perhaps that's why the outback of Australia and other areas in the southern hemisphere gets so incredibly hot, because the sun and the Earth are at its closest on January 10th. But on July the 10th, we are the furthest away. Now, it's really odd. January 10th, there could be great blizzards going on, tremendous winds and snowdrifts here, and we're telling people, oh, the Earth is the closest to the sun it ever gets today. And July 10th, we could be boiling up with heat waves, and it's the furthest it gets away from the sun. Now, that is only for the fact in its distance. In a way, that kind of is a helping factor for us in the northern hemisphere to try to, although we have very hot summers and can have them, but we also have desert areas in that. We also have the sun and Earth in an alignment to each other that actually helps to temper the seasons more. We're in the southern hemisphere. When they're in their raging hot summer, this Earth and the sun are the closest together. So it is noticeably hotter for them, or should I say rather hotter.
Wow. Well, you know what? I got to ask you something, Ron, now that we're off this subject, because it keeps looming at me. But if we're in Pisces, and I'm bringing it back to Pisces, just because I think that since I did sing Happy Birthday to all the Piscearians out there, I think that's what they're called. What is, do you know Pisces color? What the planet it rules? What specific parts of the body it rules? Because I think if we're looking at its birthday, we need to tell everybody what's specific right now for it.
Pisces is ruled by the planet Neptune, and Neptune is one of the five planets in Pisces, so it's at home. It's been in Pisces, Neptune that is. I believe it's going to be 3 years now. This spring it'll be in Pisces,
Wow.
and it will be in Pisces about 11 more years. It takes 14 years to go through a sign, so it's not even been 3 years in it yet, so we've got more than 11 to go. So that means Neptune is in its superpower placement because it's in its the sign that it rules. We say that it's dignified, which is a fanciful term in astrology when a planet's in its own sign. And the colors associated with Pisces are purple, different shades of purple, lavenders, orchids, different colors that are related to the purple realm. So purple and its various shades. The areas of the body that are ruled by Pisces are the feet, the liver. So you'll notice that many Pisces people have extremely sensitive feet. And sometimes they don't like to have their feet touched or worked on. They also, many times, have the sense of wanting to throw off shoes and put on sandals or walk barefoot. They have, with all their sensitivity with their feet, they often don't like their feet to be enclosed in shoes unless they have to for work or going out in the world. And
So
they also
interesting.
have very sensitive livers, more than other signs. They have to be very careful of the ingredients, the food preservatives, and all the things that they ingest or take into their body, because the liver is a very important organ for working with the body. So that's why some people born under Pisces get more prone to addiction than other signs. So they can drink, and that can affect the liver. They sometimes just have pain or sensitivity in their feet. Now, it doesn't mean that this is a curse and that you aren't necessarily going to have those things. But for Piscean people, the liver and the feet are more sensitive than other areas of their body.
Well, you know what? I'm just thinking, Ron, because this is, I'm trying to, my brain is going a mile a minute. But Pisces, the color, it's supposed to be the most psychic, sign. But the color purple actually is our crown chakra color, which is spirituality. So that's why I wanted to ask, because I think it all ties in. So, Pisces, intuitive, psychic, purple, spirituality, it's all from the different realms of color, planets, what it rules. It's just, it all, if you look at all the different parts of spirituality, it all lines up. So that's why I was interested in finding out. And I know the color purple, and Candy's going to just love this, and I know she's listening, but the color purple is also associated with Metatron, the higher masters. And so, and I know that you can even say that Archangel Michael, even though it's more indigo, is in shades of it. But that all goes with every different type of spirituality in like crystals and angels and chakras, and they all adds up in that Pisces sign. Is that crazy?
That's because that sign has dominion or connection with those parts of our being. And you are absolutely right in making this connection. You are absolutely right. This is why I said arguably it can be the most psychic, mystical, intuitive, and spiritual sign of the zodiac, because it is so connected with not only the color purple, but with the body's psychic receptivity and intuition. Pisces people are often born mediums, born psychics. Now, if they go to develop it, they often are the greatest students. They develop the fastest. They often have it as a natural ability innate unto them. And a lot of this is interesting because it is the 12th sign of the zodiac. Aries is the first, and that always starts on the day of the spring equinox. In fact, how we know when the spring will start, how the spring equinox of the northern hemisphere will start, is when the sun enters Aries. At the exact minute and second that it enters Aries, spring starts. In the southern hemisphere, autumn starts. But we have an equinox. So Aries being the first of the 12 signs, Pisces is the 12th of the 12 signs. And in, according to the way traditional months were celebrated, February was the 12th month, January the 11th month, and then March would be month number one. Even though Aries doesn't start till 3 weeks into March, the sign of Aries begins that month, so it's always been tradition of the first month. All of that was changed back when the Saturnalia, the festival of Saturn held by the Romans, was such a long-term, almost debauchery type of a celebration, but of such great fun for the Romans. And when the new church was getting established, they wanted to counteract that, counterbalance it. So they created December 25th as the birthday of Jesus. And don't get offended when I when people say that. It actually was done in the early days of the church because there were not shepherds in the fields or things like that on December 25th. They were more like that in April. So we believe that his actual traditional birthday, according to the, what the Bible accounts with spring and the shepherds in the fields, was more in the springtime. But what happened is the church created the Christmas time to counteract the Saturnalia, and then right after that was the beginning of the new year, and they created January as the first month because that's when the sun in the northern hemisphere starts ever slowly getting longer in hours. The darkest night is always December 21st, and then after that we start getting a little more sunlight, a little more sunlight, a little more sunlight. And so as the sun was growing in light, they associated the very next month with the first month of the year. And all of that was created in our in past history. But before that, in the Romans and other times, the first month was always March. February
well,
was the 12th month.
Those Romans knew how to party. I mean, they did kill people, but I know they did love their big parties. I remember reading about all of their bathhouses and everything else. It had been fun as long as you were in the right, like, sector. So I'm all about parties, having fun. So I just, you know, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say February is the 12th month because the 12th sign, Pisces, starts. Also, Bonnie, Pisces is connected to the subconscious of the human being. If you were a student of Carl Jung, which is particularly of interest to metaphysical and spiritual people, because he was metaphysical and spiritual, but his original teacher and compatriot was Freud, they were together for a while, and then they split their ways. And Carl Jung went off and branched off, and then Freud was not.
And I think they put Freud in a mental institute. No, I'm kidding. But you know what? I got to tell you, because I love Jung and Freud. And the reason is, because I was into psychology and I do counseling, I always throw Jung up at everybody that tells me this, the psychologist, that they don't believe in metaphysics. Because then I'll quote Jung and then tell them to go look him up. Because Jung was very into astrology, and he was very into a lot of the different metaphysics if he wasn't himself. So I just love when you bring up Carl Jung, because he, I always throw up at the ones that are non-believers, but you know I do it in love and light. But go ahead.
Well, Bonnie, you're very right with that, because Pisces is related to the workings of the human subconscious. The very point and thing that Carl Jung would be looking into and discovering and analyzing. So it relates to our inner will, our inner working, and it also relates to our conscious storehouse of memories of past lives. And that's why things like hypnotherapy can open up the subconscious for exploration and discovery, but it also can open up into action, or should I say doorways, into past life experiences. So this is also part of the deep inner self of the human being, all ruled by the sign of Pisces. So if someone says, I'm going to be psyched out, that term psyched out that we heard and know, that means you're going to have a Piscean astrological experience or energy that's going to be happening to you. He's going to psych me out. I'm going to my psych, my shrink, as some people call it, many doctors. These are all people that work within the realm of the sign of Pisces, even though they may not be understanding the metaphysical end of it always, but they are working within that realm. Even though Freud wasn't metaphysical, he was working in the realm ruled by the sign of Pisces, but he didn't.
He has to be, or he was on LSD, one or the other. I can tell you that. But we all will never find that out. Now, will we? It was taken with him far away. But you know, I just love that because I really believe, and now we're getting into more psychoanalysis, but I really believe he touched off and started one of the biggest and best, most thorough and most sought-after fields, which was psychology. And people, after reading Freud, and even if they didn't, you know, agree with him, they really couldn't argue because all of our other peeps came off of Freud, like Jung, and there's so many others I could name. My brain's going. And without him, we wouldn't have jump-started any of the convos or any of the, you know, psychology departments that we have, because he really started everybody thinking, and that's what I loved about Freud.
You know what, Bonnie? In the 1840s, I believe, the planet Neptune was discovered, and it was discovered by a French gentleman, and I can't remember his name. It's always a very hard-to-pronounce name. And that was the last of the major planets to be discovered. Well, then Pluto, of course, was discovered in the 1930s. But Neptune, whenever a planet is discovered, its characteristic manifestations are thrown into the realm of society within the next 50 to 100 years. So right after the discovery of Neptune rules photography, and the first photographic images were now begun to be discovered and how to make them. Neptune rules psychic intuition, and the first work with spiritualism, with seances, and connecting with Don Lincoln. His wife were very much into that, and they were right after the discovery of Neptune, and people all over began to discover seances, and they began using Ouija boards, and all of this came as a result of the discovery of Neptune. Neptune rules anesthesia, and so right as Neptune was discovered, new drugs were discovered to numb pain for surgery and other things. So Neptune was the creator of that. Now, it also started Big Pharma. It started the pharmaceutical business. All drugs, whether they're street drugs or they are prescription drugs, are under the rulership of Neptune. And people think to me, why?
And I think, Ron, I've got to tell you, we're going to have to continue this Neptune on Wednesday.
Yes, because we're right at the end of the time. I see it now.
We have only 60 seconds, and I am taking Arthur for an MRI, speaking of medical procedures here. And so I will not have anything after the show. So I do want to announce that I thank you. You are wonderful. Let's take Neptune into the next week. And also, I want everybody to know we have Annabelle Miller and Brenda Brand, my mom and daughter duo, tomorrow, and Andrew D. He's a UK spirit medium. Get in touch with your dead ones, actually, he says, the ones that crossed over. But I love living or dead terms. So come find your loved ones, ask a question. Both him and I will both be answering that or your questions, or finding out what you need to know, or connecting you with the other side. So everyone have a great evening. Ron, again, I want to thank you. Everybody, if you would like a reading from Ron, it's livingastro.com. His readings are astrology. He will do a chart for you and much more. Put in your little subject that you heard this show. You want a reading. So thank you, Ron. I love you. I will see you, I hope, so very soon, friend. Bye.
Thank you. Bye. Happy Chinese New Year.
Thank you. Happy New Year.